up? Good morning. You are a good-looking bunch of people this morning. My goodness, my goodness. Hey, it's good to have you. If you're a guest in this room, I just want to be one of the probably 13th or 14th people to say, welcome to Church on the Rock, okay? It is so, so good to have you. Would you give it up for those that might be a guest for the first time? Thanks for being with us on a Sunday. If you're tuning in at Church Online, I just want to say hello and welcome to those of you who are in fact tuning in. Changes are coming for you, and we'll talk about those in the future, so be looking out for that. But I want to get right into today's message today. We are in a series that we are calling Recycle, hence the bike over here to my left. I've been using stage props every week in this series. Anybody enjoying the stage props? You kind of liking the idea? All right. If you don't, you know, they might not stick around forever, but they'll at least be here until the end of this series, which is next week. But we've been using this bike, a bicycle, right, to talk about cycles in our lives and some things that we probably should do as people to just have healthy rhythms in our lives. And here's kind of the general consensus of what we've been trying to talk about and unpack is that, and I think everybody in this room would agree, I do not think that anyone would push back, but society and life is always asking for more, faster, more effective. Come on, like, stop sleeping and start working. And there's just a lot, right, that is pressed into us by society. And so what we've been talking about are rhythms that we need in our lives. And in week one, we talked about rhythm by design. Like, God designed us, and you're breathing in a rhythm. Your heart is beating in a rhythm. We sleep, or at least we should, rhythmically, right? That should be kind of a rhythm to what we do. Week number two, we talked about rest and how important that is. God blessed the Sabbath day of rest, and he made it holy, but then he cursed the ground when mankind sinned. And we talked a little bit about that and how society is pressuring us, and really the curse around us is pressuring us for more, do more, achieve more, conquer more, whatever. And then we talked about, last week, we talked about reflection and having a cycle of rest and a cycle of reflection. How many of you guys know that you have to look at yourself every once in a while to know how you're doing, right? Like on our cars, we have a dashboard, and that dashboard tells us things. Like, for example, it might tell you how many miles per hour you're going. On the dashboard, it might tell you how many revolutions per minute, RPMs, that your engine would be turning at. It will tell you if your oil temperature is right, or if your water temperature is correct. It'll tell you some things. And then some lights, some warning signs come on every once in a while to tell you if something's out of line. Our lives should have dashboards. We should have some reflection, and we should look at some things in our lives. Can we agree? And so what we've been talking about, the idea behind these cycles, is that, man, there's an inward part of us and there's an outward part of us, and they're very different, and both of them matter, right? They both matter. And so we've been using this verse. This is where we've started each and every week, and the Bible says this. It's a prayer, and it says that I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I just want to emphasize the end of that. Like, even as the inward part of you is successful. So there's a lot of us that we have outward success dying on the inside. Isn't that right? I mean, I know that some of us would speak for ourselves if we said amen. Some of us might speak for someone else if we said amen. Someone might speak from a different experience or a different season in your life if you were to say amen. But we've been talking about how to create healthy cycles in our lives that will keep us prospering in our inward person, that our soul would prosper. And today I want to dig a little bit deeper. Is that okay with you? I want to dig just a little bit deeper. And I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 4, one of my favorite little stories in all of the Bible. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start in the very first verse. The Bible says this: then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I would love to unpack verse 1, but not today. Not today. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. To which I'm like, well, go figure, right? If I miss lunch, I'm like hangry by dinner time. You know what I mean? 40 days, 40 nights, he hasn't eaten. He's pretty hungry. Verse 3, then the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, and he's questioning who he is. The enemy's always trying to question your identity. Come on, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread, which was probably a pretty strong temptation at that time. How many of you guys have gone a long period of time? Maybe you've fasted with us before in a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and maybe you put away food altogether, or you put away a meal a day, or you put away a certain type of food from your life, and like the longer you do that, the better everything looks. You know what I'm talking about? Like hummus, nobody likes it in the whole world, but on day 18, man, that hummus is looking good. I know, I pick on hummus. I know you guys like it, but I don't. It's not Josh's thing. I'm just letting you know. But Jesus gave a response to the tempter. I want you to notice what he said. He starts out by saying, hey, it is written. He references back to what God's word says. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I just want to point out a couple of things here. Just a couple of things. The first thing that I want to point out is that Jesus doesn't diminish the value of the outer man. He says man doesn't live on bread alone. Like, it is important that we eat. It is important, I think, that we're productive and successful, and that we parent well, if we're a boss, that we lead well, if we're a person who does other things, we do that well. I ran out of analogies right there. It's just, that was the end of the road for me. Our children would listen. Thank you, Anthony. That's helpful. I think it's actually important that we're productive. And I love the fact that Jesus doesn't act like feeding his flesh doesn't matter. What he emphasizes is that it doesn't matter most. And here's the thing, most of us overemphasize the temporal and we underemphasize the eternal. Jesus says we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And here's what I want to say, that if Jesus had turned the stones into bread, he would have satisfied the outer man, but it would have devastated the inner man. I could satisfy my flesh, but at what cost? And the question that I'm trying to ask us all in this series is that, hey, maybe we're just living life and doing it the way others do it. And maybe we're trying to achieve what the neighbor has achieved. And we're trying to get to a level that we've always dreamed of. Or we're trying to prove something to ourselves. Or I'm trying to prove something to a parent. Or I'm just trying to show that I can dig myself out of a hole. And I'm trying to be the one that creates a new culture for the lineage of my family. Whatever it is. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad things. But at what cost? At what cost are we deteriorating the inner person to make sure that the outer person is successful? And what I love about the words of Jesus is this, that he refers, when temptation comes his way, he refers to God's word. Hey, it is written. And what he does is he basically says, I have parameters, guidelines for my life, and those are dictated by what God says. And it is important that I eat. And I do have a ministry to fulfill. Can I just ad lib a little bit here? Yeah, I do have a purpose for being here on earth. If Jesus had starved himself to death in the wilderness, he wouldn't have died on the cross, and that wouldn't have been a good thing. So it's not that he diminishes the outer, he just understands which one matters most. And some of us in this room, watching online, listening to a playback of this later, we are at the devastation of our inner man, our soul, trying to succeed on the outside. And Jesus says, hey, I'm not living for the flesh alone. I'm living for this inner man, and I'm going to do that by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so what I want to do is take you now to 2 Timothy, because what I believe that takes place here is that Jesus creates an emphasis on the words of God. And here's what the Bible says about itself. Are you ready? It says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful. You could say amen right there. That's a perfect place. That's like a soft pitch. You can just hit that one out right there. All scripture, it is God-breathed and it is useful. It is, now here's where we don't want to amen. This is a fast pitch. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting,
and for training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that, there's a purpose, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. Let me make a declaration here. Listen to me carefully. God is not trying to limit us with his word. He's trying to equip us with his word. And I want to, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about renewal, to renew. So we've talked about rest. We've talked about how to reflect. Today, we're going to talk about how to renew. Next week, we're going to talk about how to replenish. We need these cycles in our lives. I've got another prop here today. Some of you may have seen something like this before, but I want you to just take a look at this picture with me. And if you notice, you'll see, obviously, maybe not obviously, there's a bird here, if you can see that. And then down here is the bird's nest, and there's like a little cute little baby bird right there. Everybody say, aw, a cute little baby bird. That's adorable, you know, it's nice. But there's sort of a unique thing going on in this picture, and I want to show it to you. Again, some of you already know what I'm about to do, but let me just show you. Now what do you see? Now I see the face of Jesus with the crown of thorns here and his beard and mustache wrapping. Looks like a tear right here perhaps on his face. And here's why I brought this prop to the platform today. It's because it's the same picture. It's the exact same picture. But depending on how it's viewed, you see vastly different things. I think this is a great representation of life. Because the world wants us to see it one way, while perhaps the words of God want us to see it a different way. Same picture, different perspective. And what I want to do today is I want to just talk about how we as followers of Christ Jesus, which may not be everybody in this room, and that is okay, but as followers of Jesus, how we can see the same world that everybody else is seeing. We just have a way of seeing it differently. There's a statement that I heard some time ago that I wish I could remember who said it so that I could give them credit for it. I can't, but I have anchored it into my heart, and I all the time reference it, and here was the statement. Be informed, not influenced. Stop being influenced all the time with what's popular, with what everyone else is doing. Stop having all this influence of just what people say. We even call people that. We refer to people. If you're very popular on social media, you're not a celebrity. You're an influencer because you influence other people. And we have a way, don't we, of just being influenced? How many of you guys have ever gotten all uptight and mad about something that you don't have any information about, but because someone you love and trust is upset about it, you are too. Come on. Come on. Let me tell you why my kids don't like the Buffalo Bills. They grow up in my house. They've been influenced. You know what I'm saying? I don't need them to go get informed. I need them to be influenced. We're Miami Dolphin fans, sadly enough, in our house. Okay? All right. But too many of us are influenced too easily and informed way too little. And what I want to do today is I just want to feed you scripture. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, watch what the Bible says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. The Bible is saying, be informed. Don't be influenced. Don't let society and the world, paint pictures for you and determine how you live and what you do. Don't let them dictate what you see because it's popular or you won't get a lot of pushback or it might make you more money or it might make you more successful. How about instead, as followers of Christ Jesus, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we live in the same world and we see the same things. We just happen to see it just a little bit differently. Because if we are going to break the mold of the curse that's on the world that we live in and the societal pressure to run ourselves so ragged and so exhausted and so unhealthy that our souls are not prospering, we must have some renewal to go on. We're going to have to begin to think differently. Isn't that right? And so today I'm just going to give us four simple ways that I believe we can have a cycle of renewal in our lives. And the number one point is this, that I'm going to encourage you, and I'm preaching absolutely to the choir, I'm encouraging you to hear God's word. Jesus said that we live by every word that proceeds from that. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I'm encouraging you, hear God's word. Which again, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. Way to go, everybody. Way to go. Congratulations. You did it. You're doing it. Whether you're in the service and you're catching this information live, or maybe you're streaming this, or you're going to watch a YouTube playback later, or you're catching this as you drive to work on some sort of podcasting platform, or however it is that you're receiving this content, here's what I'm encouraging you to do, follower of Jesus. Hear the word of God. Like, it is imperative that I hear God's word taught to me. Help me understand what I do not. Teach me some things that I might not have a grip on inside this, in some people's cases, overwhelming book. Isn't that right? Because for some of us, it's like, I don't even know where to begin. This is kind of thick and big, and where do you start? And I don't know how to pronounce 97% of those names, and I don't know what order it goes in, and do I start at the beginning and read all the way through, or should I just start in the New Testament? There's a lot of questions in there about how to get into God's word. Well, here's where we can start. Hear God's word. Find somebody that you think is trustworthy, that has a heart like God's, and begin to let that person deposit their revelations of Scripture into you. I do this all of the time. I listen to preaching on a regular basis. Why? Because I know that for my mind to be renewed, for me to see it the way that God would want me to see it and not the way that pressure or society or popularity would have me see it, I've got to have a constant, healthy cycle of the deposit of God's word coming into my life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's giving some instruction to a young pastor named Timothy. And he says, until I get there, read and explain the scriptures to the church. Watch this. Preach God's word. There's an emphasis on that. And we need God's word to be preached and spoken into our lives. Acts chapter 2, verses 42. This is referencing the early church after Christ's death. The Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Like, this was valuable. I'm devoted to hearing God's word. And I'm just saying to you, again, I'm just championing. Today I'm applauding you because you're doing it. But make this a cycle. I need this to keep coming around for me. I need to have a steady diet of listening to God's word so that it teaches me how to see things differently. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And the thing that does that is the word of God. That's how we live. Number two, I'm going to encourage you to read God's word. Read it. Open it up. Get into it. And read the Bible. I'll tell you a very fast story that let me give you a little context. I grew up with an incredible heritage. I really did. So I grew up, my grandfather on my mom's side is a pastor still. My mom, probably one of the godliest people I've ever known. I kind of grew up that way. My dad gave his life to Christ when I was very, very young. We had a Christian home. I went to a private school from kindergarten until eighth grade. I've been a member of Church on the Rock since I was 16 years old, okay? I had pastors and youth pastors and mentors and friends pouring into my life all of the time. The Bible has been fed to me literally since infancy, all of my life. And I think I'm very, very blessed to have that story. But I remember one time just being a teenager, and I was 13 years old. I'll never forget it. I was 13 years old, and to cut to the chase, I had a sense of guilt in kind of in my heart, because I knew that as a good Christian, I should read the Bible. I knew that. I've been taught this my entire life. I've been tithing since I earned a little money. If I got money from the tooth fairy, God got 10%. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew biblical principles, and I knew that Christians should pray, and I knew that Christians should go to church, and I knew that Christians should have fellowship and accountability, and I knew that Christians should read their Bibles. And one night, just out of pure honest, I was a little feeling guilty. I should just read my Bible. It's what good Christians ought to do. And I just opened up my Bible, and I had the first revelation of my life out of Scripture. I read James chapter 4, verse 7. I'd been reading through the book of James, and I got to the fourth chapter in the seventh verse, and I saw more than just the words on the page. I saw something deeper. I saw something powerful, and I was excited. I didn't know what to do with myself, and I'm an external processor. It's just, I think out loud all the time, and I called my youth pastor, and I said, oh my God, I was so pumped up. And I called him, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But maybe one time I could just share with our youth group what I saw. And he was like, how about Wednesday at youth group? And I'm like, huh? I did not expect him to say anything but like, good for you. And he said, how about this 6 days from now? Why don't you just tell the youth group? It was a Thursday night. And it changed the course of my life forever. I preached my first sermon. All I was doing was talking to people. That's all I was doing. I was just, hey, this is what I saw in Scripture, and it changed the course of my life forever, because I took a step and I just began to read God's Word, and it changed me. And I know that a lot of people, it's like, I don't really know where to start or where to go. So let me just throw you a couple of tips, okay? If you're brand new to the Bible, I'm just going to give you a couple of things. Get your notes ready. I just want you to start in the book of John, in the New Testament. Just start there. Read the book of John. When you're finished with the book of John, go read the book of Romans. Just go there and get Romans. And then if you want, just throw in, there's 31 Proverbs, just one a day. Just one a day, you'll gain a lot of wisdom. And then when you're done with that, just read through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You can read the book of Acts, and it tells you the story of how the church got going as we know it today after the death of Jesus. By the way, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're reading the same story from four different perspectives. So if it sounds redundant and repetitive, it is. You're just getting a different viewpoint from different people, but you'll pick up different things about Christ and his character and his life and the way that he lives. And then in Acts, you can learn about the church. And in Romans, you can learn about how we are justified by faith, right? John will give you from the very beginning of it all, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And that's what we're talking about here today. Proverbs will it'll deposit wisdom into your life. Just listen, I'm just saying, like, take your next step. Read God's Word. It's going to renew your mind. It'll transform you. You'll begin to see things differently. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Can I paraphrase that? It gets all the way in there. You cannot hide from God's Word. I heard this said years ago, the Bible's the only book that when you read it, it reads you. It's just reading your mail. You cannot hide from the power of Scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It gives us direction. It clarifies what steps to take. It tells us where to go and what to do. I'm going to encourage you to hear God's Word, number one, to read God's Word, number two, and number three, I'm going to encourage you to go a step further, to study God's Word. Study it. To which that sounds way too intimidating for some of you. Okay, then read it. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself having a desire and a need to study it. There's a person in our church I was talking to recently. I talked to him rhythmically. We email each other. He's just a friend. I love him to pieces, like you. I love you. I just love people. I love you all, so I don't even need to classify that I love people, okay? You're loved by me. Amen. But we were talking. And he and his wife, they've been a part of our church for about 3 years. And he was talking to me about how when he first started to attend, he's like, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Like, I would just listen to you. And then all of a sudden, I began to kind of start reading a little bit. And I would just read a little more. And I got to where it became a part of my diet, was just to read the Bible. And he said, now all of a sudden, after a couple of years, you know, when you'll start talking about things, I'll be like, I know that story. So where he used to be a total novice, he's like, no, I know that character, and I know this story, and I know what's happening. And what he started to describe to me was studying God's word, because now when he reads or he hears God's word, he's thinking, oh yeah, that reminds me of this place. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, well, where is that story at? And now all of a sudden I'm going to be in the Old Testament, because man, it seems like something like that was said, and I found it in the New Testament too. Or hey, what about what Paul said in Ephesians? Does that line up with what I just heard in the book of Acts? And all of a sudden, because I'm gaining familiarity with God's word, and I'm listening to it, and I'm reading it, and I'm digesting it, and there's a transformation taking place, and a renewal of my mind is starting to happen, that all of a sudden, it births inside of you a hunger for more. And then really, quite frankly, study becomes something that becomes easier to do simply because transformation and renewal has started to take place. I'm encouraging you, study God's word. Joshua 1:8, love this verse. It says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate. Continue to think about it. Bring it back up. Run it back in your mind. I'm going to encourage you this. All right, one more little thing. I'm always thinking about those that are like younger in your faith, and I hope it's helpful. But listen, don't over-concern yourself with how much you're reading. Focus on how much you're getting from what you're reading. If you can handle a line at a time, but it's doing something inside of you, meditate on that line from that verse. A verse a day, a chapter a day. Listen, do what works. Don't do what your friend does, because it maybe what works for your friend isn't working for you. Do for you what works for you. You good? Nobody's competing. We're just renewing. That's what we're doing. But the Bible says meditate. Meditate on this. And then you'll be prosperous and successful. Meditate on it. Don't let it go away. Be careful to do everything written in it, because that's where you find success. This is where you begin to see it differently. This is where transformation comes, is because renewal is happening and we're all looking at the same photo. I just see it a little bit differently. And now all of a sudden people are going like, what is so different about you? And boom, the door is opened. Let me tell you what Jesus is doing in me. Number four, and we're going to close right here. I'm going to encourage you to do God's word. Like, do it. James 1:22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do it. Walk it out. Apply it to your life. Forgive the guy in traffic. I know he doesn't drive as good as you. I know. And I know that you can't understand why he would do it that way. It doesn't make sense. We all could agree. But maybe, because the Bible teaches that we should show grace to people, maybe we just put it into practice there. Maybe, some patience can develop, because God's giving us opportunities to be patient. Maybe you struggle with generosity. It's not your thing. You have a tight fist on your stuff, your money, I earned it, I worked for it, why should I give it away? Well, when you start to renew your mind in Christ Jesus, you'll start to think a lot less about your stuff, because you'll start to think more about the other people around you and how stuff is just a tool, but they are eternal. And transformation takes place because renewal starts to happen. And what you might get the opportunity to do is be generous. I'm going to do it. Can I tell you something I probably don't have a whole lot of time for, and it's right in line with that, is I have a couple, best way I know how to say it is like some side hustles. I have found a few ways to generate some additional income for myself. And there are times that from my general family budget, I can afford to do something for someone. But these side hustles, that's not general funds. That's Josh's funds. It's the only way I can pursue the elusive white-tail buck deer. Come on, somebody. Side hustle. It's just how I do it. But there have been times, rhythmically, quite frankly, that I, even though like the family budget could absorb it, I've chosen to do something for someone else out of what is mine. And there have been times that I've done it because it hurt. Anybody got any Dave Ramsey principles going on in your life? I am the king of naming dollars. And when it's named, I do not like to rename. It's obsessive compulsive. I can't take it. And there are times that I'll rename for the sake of generosity. Why? Because that's a place I need to grow. And quite frankly, for me to grow, I have to stretch. And when I stretch, it hurts a little. And sometimes I'm sore as a result of it. Man, I had that covered because I had it named. But God just said, I would like you to just do for this person. And so I did. And now I'm sore because I got to replenish, right? But you know something? Sometimes embracing a little pain is exactly the right thing to do. And when it comes to God's word, there are going to be times that we have to put it into action when it hurts. Sometimes when we put it into action, it does hurt because things change. We transform by the renewal of our minds. Please understand that I don't share those type of silly stories to brag on myself. I do it in hopes that it might connect to something in you like, I see a way that I can stretch. I see a way that I can grow. Listen, the fact of the matter is, if I hear God's word all the time, if I read God's word all the time, if I study God's word all the time, but I don't do God's word, I'm wasting my time. The Bible says, yeah, you're just deceiving yourself. You make yourself feel good. You're checking off the box. You got it done. You got to put that stuff into action. Because when we put it into action is when renewal takes place. What we need, Church on the Rock, is a cycle of renewal in our lives that will constantly keep us moving forward. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just for a moment, nobody looking around, please. I want to give an invitation. And the invitation that I want to give is to those of you in the room or online on some platform at some time, maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You've never put your faith in him. And here's what I know, right? That I don't have the articulate capacity. I'm not compelling enough to bring your heart to change. But what I do know is that the Holy Spirit of the living God, that does in fact use me as a voice box of truth, has the power to change everything in your life. And I don't know how you walked into this room this morning, or where you are when you clicked on the playback, or whatever it is. I don't know what brought you to this point, but just as I was speaking, The change that started to take place on the inside of you wasn't my words. It was the Spirit of the living God doing what only the Spirit of the living God can do. And some of us are standing at a point of decision. And the decision is, am I going to take a step of faith and put my hope in Jesus right now? Or am I going to stay where I am? And I, as your pastor, your friend, I'm just going to say, would you please take that step of faith? Just put your hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus made a promise in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and he said this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm inviting you this morning to take that step. And the way that I'm going to invite you to do that is simply to repeat a prayer after me. Now, church family, you know how we do it. I always say, hey, everybody in this auditorium, I'd love for you to say it with me. But I do believe that there are some of you, you're going to say it for the very first time. This is everything we do is for this moment, quite frankly. This moment for you. And so I'm going to invite you to repeat a prayer after me. And then Cynthia is going to come up and invite you to tell us how, or tell you how to tell us that you've made that decision. Because we want to walk with you in this journey of faith. So here's our prayer. We're at the point of decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's our prayer, whether you're in this room or online. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, let's congratulate those that made that decision. Congratulations, congratulations. I'm now going to turn it over